Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and this is the second instalment in my guide dog diary. Apologies for the quality of this mic at the moment. I seem to be getting a bit of a crackle and a hiss with it. So I hope it doesn't detract from the audio too much. If it's too bad, give me feedback and I'll try and sort it. Okay, I am sort of in that void between the matching visit and when I start training on the 2nd of March, a week tomorrow. Excited but a little bit nervous at the same time. It's a long time since Bonnie retired, and even before that she wasn't working to full capacity because of her confidence issues, which had a knock-on effect for me. So I've had some documentation through from Guide Dogs, something to sign and send back, and a couple of other things. So I thought I'd just run through what you get, just out of interest, and hopefully it will be of some interest and use. So I had to sign this. It says, I, Joanne Fishwick, I get my Sunday name, agree to abide by the terms of the guide dog owner agreement while Bruno is in my temporary sole care. Number two, that Bruno will not become mine until qualification and on signing the guide dog owner agreement. And number three, that guide dogs, like other dogs, are animals which may behave in an uncharacteristic and or unpredictable manner. I accept that there may be certain occurrences over which guide dogs has no control. And that had to be signed and dated and back to the Exeter Guide Dog team by the 20th of Feb, so last Friday, which I have duly done. And then there is class acknowledgement. Guide dog mobility program. Please complete and send to your local mobility team. And this is basically just that I, well, my name and date obviously, but that I will or will not be attending the class. Dietary requirements, so vegetarian, vegan or any food allergies. Medical details, if you're on any medication, they need details. I think that's more a case if it's medication that you may need to take throughout the day, so perhaps if you're epileptic or asthmatic or anything like that. It also asks if you would need assistance with that, so you need to give details. Then it asks for an emergency contact, which in my case is Rob. Their name, relationship to the client, address and a telephone number. And there's also a place underneath where you can write any extra comments that you think you might want to put. That's the first and most important one, really, because that's to say that, yes, I will be doing the training. So the second one is specific to myself and Bruno. So firstly, dog details. And I get Bruno's computer number, which I'll need when I do things like order dog food and when he goes to the vet. Breed, golden retriever, colour, golden. Then health history and possible training implications. I'll just turn over because it's on little braille paper, this. And at the top of every document they send you is all the, you know, the guide dog mobility team address, references, my name and address and all of that, which takes up probably over half a page of braille. So it tells me that his current health is all okay. It tells me any operations he's had. In Bruno's case, he had his anal glands removed in October 2014 whilst he was at Leamington. Now it sounds a bit grim, but my first dog Zilla suffered badly with that, so it's good that Bruno's has been taken care of in advance of him working. It says that he did show signs of coprophagia. For those who don't know, another pretty grim subject, it means that when they go to the toilet they will try and eat it. But he's shown no signs of this in advanced training, which is good, and basically it just means that when he and Bonnie go to the toilet in the back garden, that it will have to be picked up immediately so that he won't be encouraged to start that again. So that's not a problem. It says some awareness seen of unfamiliar things in the environment, And that's like when we were doing the matching walk, there was a skip outside somebody's driveway with a tarpaulin just thrown over it. And he just, very split second pause, just needed me to kind of say, it's okay, come on. You know, straight on or on you go. And he was absolutely fine. So it says that he's best suited to supportive handling. It says can mouth lead, although this has improved over the last few weeks. That's not a major issue, really. I mean, Bonnie does that. She'll actually pick up her lead and give it to you, which is quite handy. Saves you bending down. It says he's got a good route memory and he likes locating objectives, which is one of the things that I specifically asked. I wanted a dog that would be able to find posts at crossings, that I'd be able to train, teach to find a post box, that would be able to help me find a seat on a train or bus or in a waiting room, because you don't want to be wandering around the waiting room in a doctor's surgery aimlessly looking for somewhere to sit. Then I get his spending routine, which I won't bore you with. Temperamental characteristics. This is quite nice. Bruno is a willing, gentle, tactile boy with a sensitive side, well behaved socially and with children. Now, although Jodie's not a little child, we do have kids in and out, so it's good that he'll be able to handle that. Then there's his feeding. Tells me what food he's on, that he gets fed twice a day and how much to give him. He gets a little bit more in the evening than he does in the morning. And it says matching accepted by client. And then there's matching comments, and that's the GDMI's comments. It's about a page and a half of Braille, so I won't read it to you. But basically it gives an outline of the walk that we did, that it encompassed part of a main road going past a supermarket, the local Tesco, that we did a little bit uphill. And it says that I kind of gave Bruno encouragement and verbal acknowledgement without being asked. And but I mean, if you were a first-time guide dog owner, you wouldn't necessarily know to do that. So that just comes with experience. It says that how he responded to me, which it says he was good. It talks about his pace. It says that he was brought into the house to meet Bonnie, and acknowledges that we've got two cats, and that he met Rob, and that's it really. But it's quite nice to get that. I don't remember getting that with either of my other dogs, so that is quite nice to have really, and it's all very positive and good. So the third one is much more general, and I think more suited to somebody who's a guide dog owner for the first time, or somebody who perhaps hasn't had a guide dog for a long, long time, has had a huge gap and has forgotten a lot of the things. But there's some things that are pretty self-explanatory, really. They've given you like acronyms, so GDBA, and told you what it stands for, Guide Dogs for the Blind Association, GDA, Guide Dog Applicant, GDO, Guide Dog Owner, GDMI, Guide Dog Mobility Instructor. And it gives you a little bit about what each one is. And then it says preparation notes. During the course, you will be doing a considerable amount of walking, probably a little more than you are used to at the moment. To make life easier for you, take as much exercise as you can before class. And then equipment. The items required to work your dog are provided by the association and include a harness, lead and whistle, play collar with bell, and a grooming kit. Now, the harness, we have two different handles on the harness here. We have an A type and a B type. Now, I've always worked with the A type, which is a straighter one that sits on the back of the dog, really. The B type fits more down around the dog's shoulders. And that is the type that Bruno works with. So that was a bit different. When we did the matching visit, I was like, oh, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to like this. But actually, it was okay. So that's all right. And the grooming kit obviously can vary depending on what dog you get. Obviously, if you've got the really long, curly-coated retriever, you're going to need different things to if you've got a short-haired Labrador. Training course. Your instructor will have organised a training program that suits your needs. During the initial period of your training, you will become acquainted with your new dog and learn basic dog handling skills such as grooming, feeding, and obedience. In addition, training walks lasting up to 40 minutes each take place usually twice a day. The dog mobility training continues during and after the course in a variety of locations in order to give you the skills and confidence needed to work your dog. So basically that's just saying that even after you've qualified, they work with you in your own area if necessary to sort of get your routes, you know, say you've got the route to work, or maybe you need the local doctors or your local shop, and they'll do that. In my case, that will be done during the course because I live in Tynmouth, so obviously that's incorporated into it. But there will be some walks done as a group, sort of like block routes and things like that to get your confidence going. But I won't talk too much about that. I'll talk about that more when the training starts, otherwise I'll have nothing to talk about. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thanks for listening, and I hope this is proving interesting. Let me know if you have any comments or feedback. And as always, if you want to get involved, talk about your guide dog experience, please do. You know, if you're going through that whole shall I, shan't I, feel free to ask the question on the channel, and you know, I'm sure people will give their feedback and their experience and what they think of it. And there will be some guide dog owners out there who are far more experienced than me. I'm going to be training with my third, but I, you know, I had a gap between my first and second. So feel free to join in. If you're in a different country, let us know what your experience is. Do you do things differently? Do you still have guide dog schools? That'd be interesting. Or do you, like we do, train in hotels or domiciliary? So that's it for now. I will speak to you all soon. Take care.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.